Welcome to Word of Life Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here. And wherever you're listening from, we believe that God will move to and through you from today's message. And while you're here, go ahead and head over to our online platform, thelifeonline.cc, where you'll find content on all kinds of topics like forgiveness, healing, prophecy, faith, and so much more. So check it out at thelifeonline.cc and enjoy today's message.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm loving what you guys are bringing to this meeting. That's the truth. You know, I do multiple services and now multiple churches every weekend. Seriously, multiple rooms, multiple churches. So much of what God does in a meeting is determined by the crowd. They're different things. Different crowds pull differently. Different places pull differently because the people who show up. God doesn't cast his pearls as valuable things before people who don't want to treat them as valuable. But if you'll come into a place where you're hungry and thirsty for God, that demand and that honor will pull on the anointing of the Spirit. And he'll flow through whatever vessel steps up, from the worship team to a speaker to an usher, through the body. Amen. But you all, your hunger is just commendable. Your desire is commendable. And I just give thanks for that. Amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to just continue in that same vein. We've got Miss Jen again. How many of you have just been blessed by her ministry? Just so thankful. And so I'm going to ask the podium if it can come out. Do you want it on the stage or the floor? Do you have a preference? Oh, the floor is fine. Okay, we'll get that out. But can we give it up for Miss Jen as she comes to Word of Life Highland Colony? Such a blessing. Amen. We give God thanks for you.
Thank you, Pastor. Praise God. Thank you for that worship, you guys. That was just heavenly. Heaven on earth. Amen. Well, good morning, church. How are you this morning? Praise God. Have you had caffeine? Some of you have it in hand. Some of you are double fisting it. Drink on, people. Drink on. You know, I thought this was a tissue. Pastor Joel, they put these up here for you? This is for me because I thought it was a tissue and I stuck it in my Bible, I guess, last night and I found it and I was like, oh, that's like an old school hanky. That is not a tissue. And I said, Lord, I'm not giving that back. That is like, I don't know. There's something powerful about that. So I might, double anointing, I might have to take this one too. But for right now, I'm going to set it right there. Hallelujah. Well, there's so much activity already in this room this morning. And the things that the Spirit of God just a moment ago prophetically was speaking to is what I believe he's going to continue to do. And it's because it's necessary. Somebody say it's necessary. It's necessary for us to look into these things and hear about these things. And I want to make this statement. I had a short amount of time. You know, it's so important to just pay attention to how God's leading you and who God's leading you to. In a very busy season of my life in ministry, things were really just sort of kind of breaking out on the right hand of the and the left for me ministerially, and I was just constantly in motion. But there was a woman of God that I had known of for years, and I had lost track of her. And one of those just mothers in the saints, but just walked with God. She was a prayer. Her name was Karen Mosley. And I mean, there's stories about her that want, you know, there's people that God uses. Some of them we know all their names, but there's a ton of them we never hear of their names. But they've shifted nations. And she was one of these. I mean, she did things over in the nation of Scotland that played out in newspaper headlines. Just incredible. Anyway, all of a sudden, I kind of reconnected, and a door kind of opened to me to get to have some quality time with her. And I'm so thankful that even though that was an incredibly busy season, I followed that leading, because it was really in comparison a short window of time, and she transitioned to heaven shortly thereafter. So this was really specific. But one of the things that she gave to me through really God-inspired words, and if you knew her, she was maybe 5 feet tall. And but when she really had a grip on something from heaven for you, she would get up in your face and get that finger in your face, and you just, it was like the head of the church was telling you off, you know. And so she got me like that one of these days, and she said this, Jennifer, she used my full name, pay attention to whatever God is revealing to you. Because whatever God is revealing to you is what he is restoring to you. In other words, you could say it this way, pay attention to what God is saying, because where there is his word, there is his work. What God speaks in his word and even prophetically, his word, they're containers of power. And they come with the intention of doing something, of changing something. These aren't just cliche phrases. When you come to church, it's not like going to college and hearing a lecture. These are containers of power that come with the ability to do something. And so I'll never forget her saying that what he's revealing to you is what he's restoring to you. Or we could say it this way, where there is his word, there is his work. So God's speaking something to you, but he's working something in you. So just turn to the person next to you and say, he's working something in me. He's working something for me. Amen. So last night, for those of you that were here, how many of you were here last night? Praise the Lord. Did you go home or have you been here all night? You did go home. Okay. There's a portion of this word that the Lord gave me with this word emerge. And I want to use this portion to kind of dive into what I believe he has for us and what he wants to do. And it was this. The Holy Spirit said, speak to seeds planted in the deep. You see how he kicked us off this morning. Speak to seeds planted in the deep and tell them it's time to emerge. Speak to seeds planted in the deep and tell them it's time to emerge. I want to just speak to you a little bit this morning about the deep of you. And I want to start off by saying to you something that I'm sure you've been experiencing, and that is that the deep of you is being contended over. The deep of you is being fought for, not the shallow of you. The shallow of you has a lot of room, but the deep of you is a threat to the kingdom of darkness. When you got born again and you got translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, and you became a new creature in Christ Jesus, we know what the word says, old things are passed away, behold, everything's become new. I love one translation says, you became a species of being that has never been. It's like very supernatural. I love it. But when that happened and you became in him, you became part of the body of Christ, and you became part of the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ is entrusted with carrying his seed. And his seed is his, it's him and it's his word. You can't separate the two. And you are a carrier of the seed as the bride of Christ, because you're the only thing he created intended for the purpose of having intimacy with him. so that you could give birth to things out of his kingdom and bring them into this one. Now, Satan knows that. And he's not all-knowing. He doesn't know exactly what you were destined to give birth to. But he does know that it's in the deep. It's in that creative womb of the Spirit that when you got translated and made a new creature, all of a sudden, all these transmissions of the Father's will, and as it is in heaven, let it be in the earth, you're the funnel that it comes through. And ever since Satan fell, he's been after the seed. He knew when it was time for the deliverer to come to the children of Israel. He didn't know where Moses was coming from. He just sensed the timing of it. And so what did he do? He influenced a reigning ruling power at that time. I don't know which one it is, so just kill all the firstborns. Just kill them all. Why? Because he's almost manic. He's frantic going, it's coming. There's something coming out of the deep. I feel the seed coming and I've got to stop it. Because it already has defeated me. That seed already crushed me. Everything the enemy shows up in your life to do, he knows the only chance he's got to bring it to pass is if you get spiritual amnesia. And forget who you are. And that he's already defeated and you're already the head and not the tail. You're already above and not beneath, because when he looks at you, he sees the one who, when he thought he'd crushed him and they were having a ticker tape parade in hell, all of a sudden, Jesus, the Lamb, the Son of God, showed up in the middle of hell's victory parade that they had crucified the Son of Glory. Walked down Main Street hell. All the celebrating stopped. And he walked right up to Satan himself, stared him in the eye. And the Bible says that he stripped him, took the keys and stripped him of death, hell, and the grave. And then our bold, audacious Jesus turned around and it says he made a show of them openly triumphing in it. He walked back out with the keys going, na 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 boo boo. So every time that the enemy of your soul shows up in your life seeking to see whom he may every time he shows up, he knows he's trespassing. And he knows you're a carrier of the seed. So he just lurks around, sneaks around, waiting to see if you'll forget. Or you'll get too busy. Or hear me, he can disassociate you or dislocate you from the power flow of the intimacy, the deep place of where that seed comes out of. There is much contending over the deep of you. In fact, it would not be an overstatement to say that everything that has come to make a play for your sanity, your emotional health, your physical health, and your faith has all come to shut down this place where the Spirit of God dwells in you in the deep. He will let you come to church every Sunday of your life. If he can keep you in the shallow places, you'll never birth anything with all that seed you're hearing. The womb of the Spirit. Speak to seeds planted in the deep. Tell them it's time to emerge from the womb of your spirit. different seasons in your life will bring a different kind of contending. I remember when I was a teenager, and we were kind of laughing last night in the back about some of these things. But, you know, I shared with you all, I grew up, you know, a church kid. But I remember hitting those ages when God was wanting to have residence in the deep of me. And there was a certain kind of contending for the deep in me as a teenager. And I grew up in and come from a very musical family. We all love music. I have relatives that they've been on the highest grossing world tours, concert, pop music. I have relatives that have been signed to major record deals and are, you know, just studio musicians, and we love music. It's just part of our family. When we get together for family gatherings, at some point we're all going to sit around and just start going, did you hear this? Did you hear this? Did you hear this? And it's precious. We love it. It's part of our heritage. But because of that, music is very, it's influential for all of us. It's the gateway to the soul. But those sounds are a big deal. And if you're prone to that, you got to be aware of that, because it can be transportation for you in the spirit, but it can also be transportation for you in the soul. So anyway, I'm a teenager, you know, and I loved pop music. And my parents were pretty, you know, selective. They were careful. Thank God I didn't have the internet then. Oh, my word. Parents, I'm starting a prayer group for you. I mean, it is no joke raising teenagers in 2023. But so I love pop music, and it was just, you know, fluffy stuff. It was like, you know, the beginning days of Whitney Houston and Gloria Estefan. And for a birthday or something, a friend of mine at a friend party had given me a Gloria Estefan CD. And, you know, it was fun. All my friends, we'd sing the 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, so it's just all these songs. And so, you know, I'd just be hanging out in my room, and I'd play my Christian stuff and play it. And then I put in my Gloria Estefan CD. And these songs, the soulical longing and the ache in these songs, I don't know how to explain it, but it was contending for a deep place in me. And I had to come to terms with this knowing that if I continued to yield to that, that it was going to alter the course of my destiny. It was going to get a place in me that was going to remove me from the deep spiritual place that the Lord had for me. Now, I can't explain to you why some other music didn't have that effect on me, but he was showing me, I knew this one did. Man, I like that. It's my Gloria Estefan. It's my 1, 2, 3, 4 song, you know? And what's the big deal? But those other ones, man. And I remember finally having to get on my knees in my room, and I held that CD with Gloria Estefan's precious little face. So I've heard she's a very kind woman. But I got on my knees at the end of the bed, and I held that CD, and I said, Lord, I don't think this woman is evil. And I don't think this came from an evil place. But I know you're telling me it's not okay for me. And so I'm going to put it on the altar to you. And I mean, back in that day, we had good old-fashioned CD breaking, tape burning. Remember that? Man, those were some powerful you services. And then you'd take your thing, and you'd go to the cross, and you'd nail it to the cross, and you'd burn CDs. And so I remember taking that CD out of that case, and it was significant for me. Just snap that thing. It was a specific kind of contending at that season in my life for the deep of me. Now, as I've matured as a woman, that contending for the deep in me has changed. Just like it's changed for you. I don't know what that is for you right now that would contend for the deep of you. But what I'm telling you is that your destiny does hang in the balance of it. Because the deep of you is where that seed that we've been speaking emerge is going to come up out of you. And we have to protect it. Mark chapter 4 in verse 26, it's the parable of the seed and the sower. And it simply says, the sower sows the word, and the soil is our heart. If you brought your Bibles, turn to the book of John, chapter 14. I want to just highlight something to you, and then we're just going to move with this. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And for this, I'm going to read it out of the NIV. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." Verse 17, who's he speaking of? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. "For the world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him." What does that next verse say? "But you know him. He lives with you, and he will be in you." You know, for righteousness, who you are in Christ to flow, you need to know who you are. But for fellowship with the Holy Spirit to flow, you need to know that intimacy with God is already given to you. Now, I want you to pause with me, especially if you're a career Christian. We have made a mistake trying to grow close to God. Communication and intimacy with the Spirit of God is a gift He gives. And when you got born again, He gave it to you. We've made a mistake trying to grow to hear God. Pastor Joel read that verse this morning. What did he say? "The sheep hear my voice." You couldn't earn salvation, and you can't earn fellowship with God. Now you can grow in it. You can yield to it just like you grow in your salvation and you yield to it. But intimacy and fellowship is the gift that He's already given you. That word fellowship in the New Testament, the Greek word is koinonia. There's only one kind. It's an intimate knowing. It's a sitting down, not in a group meeting, but in a one-on-one where the setting is set, and He comes and He says, "This is the gift I've given you, fellowship with me, intimacy with me." Intimacy has been defined as into me see. Who knows you better than the one that made you? You can't earn intimacy with God. You can't earn fellowship with God. And that's why we have so much broken communication between men and women of God and the Spirit of God, is because we're trying to figure it out and work it out and eke it out. And we're trying to fast it out, and we're trying to praise it out, and we're trying to... And sometimes I feel like the Spirit of God is just going, "Calm. I preached in this church," well, I won't say it, what state it is, but I mean, I came in for this night meeting straight from the airport, and it place was packed, and I came in, and I mean, they were like in, my flight was delayed. They'd been going for like an hour, and by the time I got in there, they were in such a spiritual sweat. It was like, man, here I'm taking every mountain, break every chain, and man, come on, people. We, and you could just tell the people were like, yes, we got to do this. And you could, the worship leader's about to pop a blood vessel, and the pastor's pumping on me, and don't stop now. And I just walked in, and I was like, so accosting. And I just walked in and I was like, Holy Spirit, is this what you want to do? And the Holy Spirit was just, whew. It finally came time. They were so glad I was finally there. They introduced me, gave me the microphone, and they're just... And it was all I had. I just got up, and so good to be here. And I just walked around a little bit, just smiled. It was like, decompress, people. You have worked yourselves into a spiritual fit. And I wanted to say, and God's not in it. Calm down. And I was so proud of this group because that's just the flow that they knew. And God uses that flow when the Spirit of God's on it. Absolutely. I love that flow, but that's not the only flow. And the Spirit of God came in and shifted that meeting on a dime, and the whole meeting, because they needed the other side. The whole meeting just stayed in this peace be still, intimate place. And that's a sharp right turn to take for a group that's used to the other. But do you know that they yielded to it? And they flowed in it? And God did so much in that meeting. And I thought, this is very different from this crowd. And when the meeting was over, the pastoral staff came in, and it was a young staff, and the pastors were in there, and the staff burst in the back room and they said, this is the best meeting we ever had. I thought, yeah, you people are exhausted. That's why. Why? Because there's things in the deep. And if we're just going through our spiritual gyrations because we think that's what's necessary, you know, you can look real spiritual and be in the shallows. But the things he's calling us to be and do in this time are in the deep. So what I want you to hear me say to you, and let the Spirit of God work this in you, that your fellowship and your intimacy and your hearing is already yours. Take the pressure off. Stop beating yourself up. There is therefore now no condemnation. Why? You're already in him. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you. Makes me feel better. You can't earn fellowship, but you can develop it. What I love about Jesus is that everything he did to put us back in intimacy with him. It's like Jesus, the head of the church, is going, just believe the work I did and you'll have it. Just believe my finished work. So I think what I want to say to you this morning is what I hear in my spirit is that we're sort of in a day of reckoning about our intimacy with God. Where God is inviting us into a place with him to really be honest about it. Reckoning, it means to account, take a pause and take an account of. Take an account of your intimacy with God. I have a friend of mine that pastored for a number of years in Florida, and he told me he was walking through his church praying for the Sunday morning service on a Saturday, and he's just praying and declaring, and he said all of a sudden he heard the Lord speak to him, and the Lord said, you know, you and I have a really good working relationship. And he said, I just smiled so big. And I said, oh, Lord, thank you, we do. And the Lord said, but that's all it is. And he said, I died to know you and for you to know me. He said, I just fell to my knees. Church, we have to come to grips with all of our spiritual activity and say, is there intimacy? Because intimacy is all that really birthed things. I hear like this call coming out of heaven that we need to take account. And to live each day out of an awareness of that intimacy changes the way we live. I wrote this down. Living each day out of an awareness of intimacy means this. I live each day going, wherever I go today and whatever I do, I have his ring on my finger. I've taken his name. I vowed to be in covenant with him. That changes places I can go, places I can't go. It changes things I can say and things I can't say. It butts up against me just going through the motions with him when I'm aware of these things speaking to me. This morning as I was getting ready to come here, I was kind of laughing because as I was putting on my jewelry, I put on this ring, and it cost about $1.50. If you could see it up close, it has a dolphin on it and some kind of plastic thing that's about to fall out. And my nephew, 6-year-old Noah James Tringale, gave me this for Christmas. This was the first year that it's kind of dawned on Noah about giving gifts, you know, at Christmas. And it was the first time it dawned on him, and he got so excited about it. And I work extra hard all year long at making sure that I am their favorite aunt. And I have serious competition. And I travel all the time, so Amazon makes sure that I am their favorite aunt. I mean, I have done ridiculous things. I have sent them life-size Darth Vaders that talk, that come in their room. It's like, oh, are those the new Nikes? Okay, just tell me your size. I mean, it's pitiful. But I play with them. I mean, I'm exhausted after family holidays because I'm going to play all the games. I'm going to do the hide and seek because I want that relationship with them. So Noah's all excited about giving gifts, and his mama told me that he was so excited. They had this little, you know, gift shop at school like they do where they get to go in and get things. And he said, Mom, Aunt Jen always gets me the greatest toys, and I'm buying Aunt Jen a gift this year. And so he goes in, he buys me this little dolphin ring. So Christmas morning, it's absolute chaos, you know, big Italian family, everybody at the same time. There's nothing sentimental about it, just paper flying. And here comes 6-year-old Noah, leaves all his gifts, and he's got this serious face. And he's an intense kid. He's all boy. And he comes, and he goes, Aunt Jen, this one is for you. I know. I'm like, here's all my money. Just, I don't even care. Just take it all. I said, oh, Noah, and his mom and dad are kind of watching. So I open this, and I see this ring, and he's just looking at me. And I'm like, Noah, you gave me a ring, and I just hug him, you know, and he's just beaming, smiling. So Fast forward to last week. I'm on the road, and Noah got one of those iPads with kid stuff on it, but he's allowed to FaceTime family members at his will. Thank you, parents of Noah. So I'm on the road, and I get this FaceTime call, and it's not really a good time. I'm in the car with somebody, so I don't answer it. 30 seconds later, he calls again, and I'm like, no. So I'm like, could you excuse me for a minute? So I answer it, and there's Noah's little face up in the, and he's telling me his tooth fell out, and he's so excited. I said, buddy, I said, I'll call you back when I get to the hotel, but I'm in the car with somebody, and I got to go. And he goes, okay. And he goes, wait, Aunt Jen. And I said, yeah. He goes, do you have on my ring? I'm staring at this little face, and I don't have his ring on. And in his little boy heart, what he's saying is, you know, there was a thing between us, and I gave you a gift, Aunt Jen, and it's just special between me and you. And are you still aware of it? And are you still aware of me? You better believe every morning I've been putting on this dolphin ring in case I get a FaceTime call from Noah. People are like, wow, that's really, you got great taste, Jen. Thanks. But I think about that with the Spirit of God in you and me. To live, I've got his ring on my finger. I've taken his name. I claim his name. I use his name. But do we have intimacy? Does the name come out of that place when I use it? Are there places that I go and things that I say that offend our intimacy? I watch right now in this time that we're living in, and it seems like the enemies counterfeit for intimacy, and I want you to hear me out on this, is the spirit of fear. Remember what it said of Job, the thing he feared came upon him? Do you know that that fear was harbored in intimate places in him? That's what the spirit of fear does. It works, what do we say, in the back of our mind. It's trying to get into the deep. If you allow the spirit of fear and you fellowship with what that fear is trying to get you to believe, you'll give birth to things out of the wrong spirit. That's what Job did. See, you and I were redesigned to work with the spirit of faith when we got saved in Christ. It's when the spirit of faith comes upon those seeds in the deep that what God's made you to be and do emerges. But if we open the door and we let fear, intimacy with fear, work on us, fear is like a soul tie to the world. And if we let that fear in there, it will contaminate your faith. Faith, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. And anything that's contaminated can't produce. The Bible talks about this. I won't turn you there for the sake of time, but it talks about in the last days, all these things that will happen. And it winds up with saying, and men's hearts will fail, fail them for fear. It says it'll fail them for the fear of things that they're seeing come on the earth. We really just watched this play out right at the beginning of 2023 on national television with that young athlete, DeMar. Top of his game. Stellar. Right there on national TV. Buffalo Bills, DeMar Hamlin. Falls. Drops. They come rushing out. And we all watch as they administer CPR trying to resuscitate him. And I mean, a lot has been said about the prayer that went up for that young man. How amazing was that to see? And here they want to tell us we're not a Christian nation. Nobody believes in prayer. Nobody told all those people to pray. But that's not really what I want to talk about, as wonderful as that is. In the days and the weeks preceding, what we've seen and what we've heard is fear coming on people. They've said that they had to send in counselors to a lot of the NFL players. They're saying, I can't get that scene out of my head of DeMar just on his back, lifeless, motionless. Grown men are saying, I'm going in and out of crying. I don't know what to do, because in the back of their mind, their intimacy is saying, if it could happen to him, it could happen to me. And there's the play for the intimacy of the deep to birth things out of fear instead of faith. And the only way that you are going to inoculate yourself living in these days as we see things come upon the earth is to do the opposite of what Job did. Job said, the thing that I feared came upon me. But then over in the New Testament, we have this scene playing out with Mary, where the word of the Lord comes out of the deep in her, and she says to the angel, how will these things be? He said, I'll tell you right now, fear's not coming on you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Fear's not meant to come upon you. The Spirit of God is meant to come upon you. And when he does, and when it does, what's in the deep of you comes out of you. Our holy inoculation from the things we're playing out around us is going to come out of every day we live out of intimacy with him, and we set aside a place and a space when and where the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It must be a daily thing. That's how you bust out of your house going, I'm living in an awareness that I have his ring on my finger, that I've taken his name and I'm in covenant with him. I don't care if it's in your prayer closet or in your car or if it's at the beginning of the day or the end of the day, but it's somewhere, someplace. You gotta create a space when the Spirit of God comes upon you. Some of you, this might be new. How does this happen? I'm going to give you three ways. Number one, through worship. That's how we've opened up every meeting. If you need help getting there, man, put on your favorite worship song, but don't let that thing worship for you. This isn't the day of borrowed intimacy. We can't live out of regurgitated phrases and models and the forms thereof, but no power. Worship, it's like I could say a door, but I just like this word better because it's a little sci-fi. It's like a portal. I just like the word portals. Whoa. How do I get in the Spirit for the Holy Spirit to come upon me when I'm running around doing natural things? Know what your portals are. Worship's one of them. You know what another one is? The Word. Do you ever do this where you sit down in the morning with a cup of coffee and you grab your Bible and you go, Lord, what do you want me to read? What do you want to speak to me? And I don't know how it is for you. Maybe you're in a Bible reading plan that's so wonderful. Maybe God just brings a verse to you or brings a chapter and you start reading it going, what is it you want me to see? But the Word of God is a portal for you. You can grab onto that just one thing. Maybe you don't even know why it's standing out to you, but you work that word like a portal and you begin to meditate on that scripture and meditate on that. Lift it up to him and say, Lord, what do you mean by this scripture? And you can use the word like a portal to get in the spirit, out of the natural and in the spirit where the Holy Spirit will come upon you. But you know what else is a portal? The prophetic word. Prophetic words of God are like a door. You can use them to get in the spirit or get aware of spiritual things. Now, I want to say this to this house. You have a lot of spiritual prophetic words that come out of this house. That prophetic gift on Pastor Joel, that word that he gave this morning, that wasn't just for this morning. That was a word for the hour. Do you know that's a word that you can work with? Those of you that are called to this house that are our prayers, hear me this morning. This is the day to get things to emerge, to pull back out those prophetic words and use them as a portal. Hold them up before the Lord. You've had things prophetically spoken over you. You've had things God's whispered to you. You've written them in your prayer journal. Get those prayer journals back out. Pull up those notes on your phone. Those are prophetic words that have proceeded from the mouth of God, and you can use them to access the deep place on the inside of you where the Spirit of God dwells. God said in his word, put me in remembrance of my word. I believe as we're talking about becoming the New Testament church, that what God is calling us to in this day of reckoning is a set apart heart. One that's married to the King. This kind of set apart heart is so rare. It's so valuable. It's so prized. It's hard to find a set apart heart in a day and a time like now, where I personally witnessed around New Year's Eve multiple well-known churches posted on social media in 2023, find your happy. And I thought, I wonder what the Lamb of God feels about that. He said in Hebrews, sacrifice you did not want, you gave me a body that I could sacrifice to bring us back in relationship with him. Find you're happy? We got to go deeper than that, church. If the requirement for intimacy with God seems too much for some, it's because they are making the grave mistake of weighing the cost from a distance. And it is costly. It'll cost you. But the payoff? No, you can't weigh it from a distance. The book of Psalms says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I like how the Message translation says it. Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. And blessed are those who run to him. So perfection isn't the pursuit of heaven. Intimacy is. living in intimacy with God means there's things that I can't do. It also means there's things that I must do. Living out of intimacy with Him means there's things I can't say, but it also means there's things that I must say. It means there's things that I can't participate with, but it also means that there's things that I must participate with. And this is where we find ourselves in this day. Today's a day of reckoning with our intimacy with God. I got this picture this morning while I was praying of mighty warrior men and women of God like yourselves that were here, but you had locked yourself in your own closet. I don't mean your prayer closet. I mean you were like stuck. You had locked yourself in your own closet, and you're this magnificent warrior. And I said, Holy Spirit, what is that about? And He said, these are those that have fallen into the mindset that they got to work for their relationship with Me when I already gave it to them. And they're under so much condemnation. You can have intimacy with condemnation too. That it separates you and locks you away from what's already been given to you. So your day of reckoning of intimacy with Him is to deal with that thing and walk out of your own closet you walked yourself into. For some of us, this day of reckoning with intimacy is actually about addressing things that have been contending with the deep of you, and identifying what is it in this season. And if I'm going to have this place, if I'm really going to take this seriously and step into an emerging place with Him, then I've got to make decisions about these things. I'll just help us all out and tell you one right now that's contending for the deep of you. I've been asking the Holy Spirit to teach me how to get this in the right place in 2023. And you know what the first thing He said to me was? He said, make this your rule. When you have it in your hand, it must be because you're using it as a tool. Don't spend time with it. So what that does is it checks me every time I absent-mindedly, because I have to stand still for 15 seconds. You know, God forbid I just stand there and look around like a serial killer, you know. I'm sitting in a waiting room. I'm telling you, you start practicing these things, you'll realize it'll scare you a little bit. How much, it's like an appendage. But making this a rule, every time I absentmindedly, oh yeah, great to see you, okay. And I stop and I go, what am I using this for right now? What tool do I need this in my hands for? Nothing? Do you think about how little availability time God has access and our attention before we got addicted to these things, for His leading us by His Spirit, and then we're going to go, I just can't find Him, and He's not speaking to me. He's like, if I got on Facebook, I could speak to you. And we'll settle for that. Oh, I saw that graphic with that quote, and that was the word of God for me. Honey, that's the shallows. I'm not saying God can't use that, But that ought to be a confirmation, a third or fourth one, that's sitting on top of a residential presence of an intimacy with the Spirit of God. If we're going to have these things, you're going to have to carve it out in the deep. Come on, and I'm with you in it. I'm telling you, he's dealing with me with these things. If we're going to go into the deep and have the seeds of God come out of us, then we must make room. We must be who we've always said we are, and that is a people of his presence. But how can we be a people of his presence if we never carved out a place for it to come upon us and get in us? Church, what we're doing here cannot be your only encounter with God this week. What happens when you come to Word of Life cannot constitute the totality of your intimacy with God. It's not enough. You will live Monday through Friday out of intimacy with fear and condemnation and everything else that the enemy who's been studying your weaknesses can throw at you to get you to settle. And he'll get you codependent on something fast. It'll only be a matter of time. And you have to walk out this whole year codependent on something till God finally gets you free. And then you wind up at this same starting place in 2024 going, let's try this one more time. I'm telling you, I'm not doing it. Neither are you. Set aside all of it. It's not even worth it. Set aside. If you just make that the rule over this thing, just practice going, you are not going to control me. If you have to, when you go to spend time with the Lord, you put it in the other room. The world will go on without you. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Glory to God. Glory to God.